listening friend, welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 22nd, 2013. One quick announcement before we dive into the book of Acts, as has been our pattern, I think, for 24 weeks, or at least 24 almost consecutive Fridays. We've talked through portions of the book of Acts. We'll find ourselves in chapter 3 today. We've been in chapter 3, I guess, for 3 or 4 weeks, Jason, but we'll dig into another portion of what God's doing through the book of Acts, through Paul and Peter and the faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those early disciples that felt equipped to go into all the world. And they were beginning right in their world in the Jerusalem, Judean, and then the countrysides. And as we journey through the book of Acts, we'll see where they begin touching parts of the world. But I want to point out, a week from tomorrow, so that'll be Saturday, November 30th, the Singing Men of GNN will be singing behind and joining Scott Waddles and Blue Suede Crew for a very unique concert experience. It's a rock and roll Elvis Christmas concert with a number of different musicians and a band, Blue Suede Crew, along with the Singing Men of GNN singing some Christmas favorites. And Scott Waddles does a Elvis tribute, and so he'll sing some of the gospel Christmas numbers along with some of the holiday favorites, and it'll be an event that's open to everyone. I can't remember what the ticket prices are, but we'll talk a little more about that maybe on Monday or Tuesday. I'll have Scott Waddles on the phone lines along with a special guest that's going to talk about the meaning behind why they're putting on this special event, because I think $2 from every ticket will go towards a special fund to help those that I believe are being treated with cancer or a special illness. So we'll talk about that maybe Monday or Tuesday during Mark and Friends, but it'll be a special rock and roll Christmas concert at the Lincoln Theater, Indicator, 145 North Main Street, Indicator. And you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, under our events page, or you can call the Lincoln Theater for tickets at 217-422-1711, and this is happening on Saturday night, November 30th, 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Theater. So, Jason, chapter 3, book of Acts. Maybe before we dive into it and you give maybe a little update on what's happening in the Shifa world, how about praying us in and helping us all get grounded to see what God would speak to each and every one of us through chapter 3 of Acts?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living, that it is active, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that it cleaves against our own self-righteousness, our own self-truths, and exposes for us divine truth, divine righteousness in the person of Jesus. We ask that you would help to lift us up, to dust us off, help us to see Jesus in all the places that we don't. And Lord, we pray that that we would see that your word is applicable for today. Your word is a word, a fresh word, a new word, yet an old word that's just the word we need today. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through it, speak to us through the wind, through your Holy Spirit, through all the ways that you work. Lord, we ask that your word would empower us and that it would strengthen us. And Lord, we just pray especially for those who are suffering in the surrounding communities following these tornadoes. And Lord, just this very breath that we pray with right now, the very breath that we speak with, the very breath that we have that gives us such life, yet we don't understand how it can be compacted and consumed and spin and swirl and cause such great devastation. And yet, Lord, we know that you are in control, that you are sovereign, that there are so many stories right now, Lord, of your hand of protection coming over people and surrounding them. And so, Lord, we ask that since we have such a great cloud of witness to the greatness and glory, the majesty of the Lord, that you would speak to us right now and empower and equip us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
So you an update on the family?
Yeah, let's get a little Shifa update. Little baby Samuel, you're probably still not getting any amounts of sleep.
No, not too much. We're still trying to teach him what day and night is. I mean, I wish he would get that down, but he doesn't have it down yet. That's normal, so it's all good. It's good. I mean, it's really good. This is probably the best we've had it. I mean, we're on number 4, so if we can't perfect it by number 4, we might as well just give up.
Yeah.
But this has probably been the best for Tasha and I in terms of being on the same page and kind of we were talking about it the other day. It's kind of like this dance that we do around each other as we're making things happen, whether it's cleaning the house or, you know, just knowing how to encourage each other and fill each other's gaps. And, you know, I don't think that great kids come from great families. I think the great kids come from great parents who love each other. And so I would just say that if I'm thankful for anything in this season, it's that Tasha and I are able to model for our kids what it looks like to love each other in the midst of no sleep and more pressures and more things happening around us. So it's just, it's been good. It's been really good. And people bring us dinner, too, and that's nice. So I can't complain about that.
Yeah.
Last night we had, I never had Swiss steak before. We had Swiss steak.
Oh, sure.
Swiss steak with a big, like this gravy and carrots and mashed potatoes and
onions on the Swiss steak. Sometimes that's like
it was like it was like in a big it was like immersed in this in gravy. I mean, there was more gravy than you could ever need, which is good. I like gravy. And then mashed potatoes, which were like perfect. You'd love it because there was like just tons of it. And then that salad with the marshmallows and the pineapple.
Oh, sure.
Oh yeah. And then buttered corn and rolls.
Oh,
and then there was a strawberry homemade strawberry pie for dessert.
Wow.
I know. I told
Tasha. Almost worth it having a kid for.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, yeah, it's good. I'm like, wow, let's get more of this.
Yeah.
The day before that, what did we have the day before that? Beef sandwiches. The day before that, somebody made us a big, huge chicken pot pie that was like homemade. It was the best, best chicken pot pie I've ever had.
Oh,
I was like, man.
Half the audience, all the guys are like, you know, drooling now. We're like, oh, yeah, we like this.
I don't know how this works, but I'm just like, people keep coming to the door, you know, like, and then food's there. And I'm like, wow, I like this.
Yes.
And then we have all the leftovers for days, and it's just good.
Yeah.
So life is good. It can't be bad. Come on.
Yeah, God is good.
Yeah, God is good. And we have his word to speak to us even when it's not. So even in trials and frustrations, that's where we go to. We go to be strengthened by the Lord's word. You know, last week we were talking about how Peter, this man at the gate beautiful, is healed. And Peter and John, especially Peter, though, because Peter is the lead here in speaking, it's just so funny how this is a different. You know, we read 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you're a new creation. We read that the old is gone and that the new is here. And yet for some of us, that's pretty hard to grasp. And yet right here we have such a great picture because Peter was a different kind of guy. He was a different kind of cat. He had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He was a bit pretentious. He just jumped at things. I mean, the minute Jesus said something, Peter's like, oh, but wait. And, you know, Peter was just like that kind of guy. And yet here Peter handles himself in a way I think we have yet to see Peter handle himself. Although in Acts chapter 2, he delivers a real zinger of a sermon. I mean, I don't know about the rest of my pastor friends out there, but if you could deliver one like Peter, I mean, that's a home run. But he delivers this sermon, and yet here he shepherds these people in such a great way. I mean, I am in awe of just how Peter balances the truth along with conviction, along with just the invitation. So he offers those three things to these people. And it's only because of the power of the Holy Spirit that he's even able to do it. But the Jews around, they see this man leaping and jumping. I mean, it's not even like, you know, he was healed and it kind of went under the radar. I mean, this guy's doing like cartwheels through the Temple Mount, which is not something you normally did around the Temple Mount. So everyone is seeing this, and they go, oh, my gosh, you guys did this? You must be gods. Let's just stop for a minute right there. How odd is that? How odd is that? If these are the people here who are at the temple, right? So track with me. They're the faithful, right? I mean, they're the people who are at church. Let's just contextualize it to here. This is a Sunday morning at church, and these are the faithful people at church, and suddenly somebody has been healed. And they pick the guy who's closest to them, and they go, you must be God some way. You must have some power.
Now, I know we're in Acts chapter 3, and I know that happens in, I think, in one of the letters where I was thinking it was a pagan crowd, and you're Zeus and you're Apollos. Is that happening here, too? I mean, these are Jewish people where I wouldn't think they would attribute any of those characters like you are gods. I was thinking that's somewhere else.
Now, Lucas, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colony. When Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness We had made this man walk. Immediately, they saw something happen. Mm-hmm. They saw something. Look, and we do that. Look, we do this in very subtle ways too. We see something special about somebody, and then we deify them. Whether they're a sports star or a musician or whatever, we see some sort of special thing that could only possibly have come from God, and we begin to elevate the person instead of elevate the creator. We elevate the creation, not the creator. And here, the same kind of thing is happening. And that'll happen later. That's a reoccurring theme in Paul's.
Sure.
That's a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Acts. You know why? It's a reoccurring theme, I think, historically, that we see those things and we begin to attribute them more to men instead of God. And Peter says, no, wait a second. Back to my originally kind of analogy, is how odd is that, that these are the people at church, these are the faithful people at the Temple Mount who are there to worship God at the appointed hour, the nighttime prayers, who now have seen something happen, and they've for this moment forgotten about that God they came to worship, and now they're focused on Peter and John. I mean, how odd is that? How soon do we forget? I mean, the hymn writer who says, prone to wander and prone to stray, he was dead on. I mean, he pulled that arrow back and he hit a bullseye, because that is so true. We are prone to do that. And if you don't think you're prone to do that, my friend, number one, you're short-sighted. Number two, you're not reading your Bible. Because it tells us in the Bible that that happens. Sometimes it happens with the most faithful of people.
Well, and you've even talked about that. You know, we read all these other references. We read these study guides. We read everything but the very words of God, the Bible. Or we spend all these times talking about God, talking to people about God, instead of talking to God. When we can have the very best of the very best, that intimacy with God the Father, whether it's through His Word or through just personally communing with Him. And like you said, they're going to church to worship God, and they're getting caught up with worshiping
them. They're mid-hymn. They're like, you know, how great is our Peter? Oh my gosh. Did you just do that? Dude! How great is Peter? Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden it's like it just turns, and how easily that happens for us. How easily that, it's like, just how do we keep our gaze on God? But what Peter does, I love that he does this right away. He calls him out. He says, why do you stare at me? Why do you stare? You know, I'm wondering if this is happening where you're at, even if very subtly, this is happening where you're at. I'm wondering if in your midst there is somebody who is bold enough and strong enough, like Peter, to say, why are you staring at that? Let's look at God. Let's look at the Father. Because it's only in His loving kindness that this was even possible. It's only in His loving kindness that this thing called the church is even here. And Peter offers them, as I said, correction, conviction, and then an invitation. And I love that Peter does that. He says, wait, it's not me. It's all about God. He says, by the way, you guys, this isn't a shock. You guys are hopeless. You guys killed the author and perfecter of the faith. You guys killed Jesus, the righteous one. And then he says, but his arms are still open, and he still wants you to come close. I mean, I just love that he offers that, but he doesn't stray away from the truth, because you can't offer anybody an invitation if you don't have the truth. You have to offer the truth to them. And the truth is not like, how bad are you, so that I feel somehow more religious, pious, and better. And let's be honest, that does happen. That does happen. We like that there are people who sin, and there are people who have fallen, and there are people who are outside of belief. We like that as Christians, because then we get to feel like we're better Christians. We're more religious and we're more haughty. That's why I love the verse, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, because I have fallen short. I continue to fall short. It's only by Jesus that any of that is made up, any of that gap is made up, because He came to preach peace to those who were far and those who were near, and all had access to the Father through one Spirit. It's only by Jesus that that's made up, but I'm in the same boat with those people. The difference is that I know how to row and they don't. That's the difference. I know how to follow and they don't yet. And my job is to help them to learn to row, to learn to follow, to learn to have them come alongside. But I can't do that by not saying the negative, by not sharing the truth. You know, I've heard way too many gospel presentations that don't include the blood of Christ. And yet the blood of Christ is what covers over us. It's what sanctifies us. It's what happened at Calvary. And it was a unique picture that knit together the beginnings of Scripture, where the angel of death passed over during the Exodus. And those people were set apart in the same way the blood of the Lamb that set apart and began to sanctify the people of Israel is the same blood that covers over us now, given to us through the Lamb Christ, that allows us to begin our sanctification in Him. And so I think that sometimes we come with this gospel message. It's like gospel light. You know, it's like, hey, I just arrived and I just want to share the gospel with you. I know that it's going to be hard for you. So I brought the light soy latte.
Sugar-coated.
Yeah, sugar-free, caffeine-free gospel for you. Jesus loves you, and He has a perfect plan for your life. Which is a half-truth. He does have a perfect plan for your life. It's called Him, and that perfect plan involves you accepting, trusting, and following Him, and then through that, you're going to navigate through the thorns and thistles. It's going to be tough. You know what I think? And I'm a coffee guy, so that's why I used a coffee analogy. I'm a coffee guy. I think that what we need is we need a bold cup of Jesus. We need a bold cup of Jesus, no cream, no sugar, maybe a little cream, maybe a little sugar. I like a little sugar in there. Sugar is love. Sugar's love. But I think we need a bold cup of Jesus, a bold venti cup of Jesus. We need to come with that for people and share that with people. And in that, we have the truth of who Jesus is. And again, Peter does that. Peter does that. You know what? And by the way, Peter does nothing different than what Jesus did as He interceded for us on the cross. When He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. I always say this to people. In fact, I just shared it on Sunday morning again, that we need to read Scripture. And whatever Jesus says in the Scripture, the opposite is attributable. So here Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The converse for that would be what? Redeem them, Father, because they're learning what to do. And how does that happen? It happens through God's people who are wrapping their arms around them, speaking truth to them, and leading and guiding them towards Christ. The converse of this is that when we know what we ought to do, we begin to be redeemed in Christ. And the problem is that there aren't enough people talking about what we ought to do. Instead, we're giving leeway to what we ought not to do. And Jesus asked for forgiveness from the Father, and Peter remembered that forgiveness. And God had already had the answer to that prayer, providence, already there. And He sent the Spirit there to empower Peter to speak and then to empower the church to go forth, to fill in that chasm so that conviction would come to those who have sinned and fallen short, that they would have a way towards Jesus. So Peter announces the crime, he provides the evidence, and then he explains and he exposes the sin, and he offers them what? For those of you that your gospel message always includes that courtroom analogy, here he offers them the pardon, because Jesus has already paid the price. You know what's fascinating is later on in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul will almost be flogged by the Romans. And he's almost flogged in a place called the Gabbatha, which is in the Anatolia fortress there off the side of the Temple Mount. It's a large open court where they would do floggings. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the fact that the Gabbatha was the exact same place where Paul is to be flogged that Jesus himself was flogged. And that Paul, through the work of the Holy Spirit there, presents evidence as to why he shouldn't be flogged. He's a Roman. In that midst, Paul is released. He isn't flogged. He's released from being flogged. He's still in prison, but he's released from being flogged. He isn't. You know why I believe that's happened? Because Jesus already took the beating. Jesus already took the beating for Paul. He took it for you. He took it for me. He took it for every single one of us. He paid the price so that we could be offered the pardon.
Jason, we only have about 3 more minutes, but there might be a skeptic or somebody tuning in that's unfamiliar with this whole concept. What do you mean he paid the price for me, or he shed his blood for me, or he took on that battering? The sins that I've committed are put onto him. Like, what does that mean for the person that's like, I'm kind of confused. What is this jargon? What does that mean that somebody paid for my penalty? Why am I pardoned?
Yeah, why are you pardoned? What a great question, because there's not really a great answer for why you are pardoned. Only the answer is only how are you pardoned, and that's through Jesus. I don't understand the why in my humanity, because the Bible says that while we were still sinners, God sent His Son. And there are people in my life who, while they were still annoying and frustrating, I can't seem to figure out how to forgive them. And yet God, in His infinite love for all of us, have forgiven us in the midst of our worst moments. And He's done so since the beginning. This isn't a new plan for today. This isn't a new plan for a few thousand years ago. Since the very beginning, when sin entered the world, when our father and our mother from long ago, Adam and Eve, ate from the apple that they were told not to, when they disobeyed God and they began to listen to Satan, that God came down and gave us a fresh word that says, there will be one who comes who will crush your head. And he speaks to Satan. And from there on forward, God is offering grace to a people who are graceless. And God comes and finally he reaches out and he comes, as John says, amongst us so he might touch us. He tabernacles with us. He became flesh. And he walked around and he touched us and he talked to us and he taught us. And through that, he always was moving towards the cross. And the cross would be this place where the ultimate battle between sin and death would happen. And Jesus willingly took upon himself all the things, all the shortcomings that you and I and we have. Jesus willingly took those on and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and he died there. And for some of us, that might be the end of the story. We died. And yet the Bible tells us then 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and Jesus rose victoriously from the grave. In fact, it wasn't even that he rose. He wasn't there. The stone was rolled away and we had access into the tomb and we could see he is not here. He has risen just as he said he would. And Jesus appeared then not just to one, not just to two, not to 15, not to 25. He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, including one named Paul, who was abnormally born. But the story doesn't end there. He taught them for over 50 days about the fullness of the kingdom of God and the kingdom to come and the power through the Holy Spirit that would be available to us, the same power, the same Spirit that spoke to this man, this God-man, Jesus. And there before their eyes, he rose to heaven. And now he sits next to the Father in glory, and he sent his Holy Spirit to us to empower us, to lead us, to guide us. But most importantly, my friend, he sent that very Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and remind you about how dearly and deeply you are loved. How dearly and deeply you are loved. If you want what the Bible is about, it's a love letter and a love story about a God who is tenacious to save you and to seek you even in your most worst moments. He comes after you when you least deserve it. He grabs a hold of you when you least expect it. And he embraces you when you need it the most. And that's the story of God.
And that's the free gift that he's offered each and every one of us. We don't have to clean up our act. We need to receive that gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ that is readily available to each and every one of us that calls on him. And if you have a moving in your heart or want to seek out some more insight or information on how you can have a relationship with Almighty God, let me offer an 800 number for you. There are trained counselors that would love to talk with you about having a relationship with Almighty God. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.